Credit Rage. Please listen to the legal disclaimer at the end of this podcast.
Good afternoon. This is Boiler. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about depositions. I just had a deposition last week and kind of wanted to get it off my chest. Talking to you from the foothills of Colorado. So I want to talk a little bit about depositions. What is a deposition? A deposition is when you get called to usually an attorney's office to give sworn statements, sworn testimony. So what they're doing there is you'll sit there with a lawyer asking you questions, and a court reporter will be typing up exactly what you say or pretty close to it. In my deposition, I sat across the table from a lawyer, and on one end of the table was a court reporter typing into one of those crazy machines that they use. I don't know what it's called, probably a court reporting machine. But anyhow, it's a crazy-looking machine. The court reporter's nice enough. Just remember, they're not your enemy. Actually, the lawyer's probably not your enemy either. They're just there doing their job. So when you're suing somebody, that person usually isn't there. So I believe they could be, but I've never seen it happen. So there's a couple things that I learned during my deposition, and I just wanted to, again, get them off my chest. And then I just wanted to talk about a cheat sheet that I carried into the deposition. So first of all, in a deposition, don't let them intimidate you. If they yell at you or scream at you, they didn't yell or scream at me, but what I had planned on saying was, you know, buddy, maybe we need to take a little break. You seem to be getting a little hot under the collar. So just throw it back at them. That's what I was planning on saying. I didn't have to. The attorney that was taking my deposition, or deposing me, I guess is the way to say it, was nice enough, just asked me a bunch of stupid questions and some that weren't exactly what I wanted to answer. But that's the way it goes. So don't let them intimidate you. Don't let this whole thing freak you out. I got to admit, it didn't really freak me out, but it sure didn't make me very comfortable. So I was kind of in a gray area between being freaked out and being comfortable. So remember that, you know, they're just people in there, and try to relax as best you can. You're not going to be able to relax all that much, but give it a try. So the other thing that I learned during the deposition is that when you go through discovery and they demand documents from you, I only gave them what they asked for. And apparently I should have given them everything that I'm going to use in trial. So I should have given them a lot more documents than I did. So I only gave them, I think, 11 documents. I probably have 50 documents. I should have given them all 50. And there's a reason for that. I can't use things that I didn't give them in discovery in trial. So if I'd given them 50, then I could have had more things to talk about at trial, although I don't think I really need it. So the other thing is, if you'd given them 50, it would have been hard to know what you're going to use. If you're going to play a hand of five cards and you give them the whole deck, they're not going to know which five cards you're going to use. But if you only show them the five cards, then they know exactly what you're going to talk about. So you might want to just give them everything. Absolutely everything you can think of. Send it to them. Let them figure out what's important to them and what's not. So I'm going to post this. I'm not sure I'm going to post it with this Credit Rage episode, but shortly I will post my deposition notes. And what my deposition notes were is exactly what I carried in with me, because I wanted to remember the objections. I didn't want to get asked a question and then draw a blank on what the objection was. I have it here on a piece of paper in front of me that I will post, obviously. And so there's a list of them. I'm not sure it's all of them, but it's enough to get you going. When you object to a question, if they ask you a question, you can object, but then you generally still have to answer the question. There's a couple of exceptions. If they ask you about something that you've prepared for trial, you know, like my notes here, I would consider to be work product. And work product is something that they can't necessarily see unless you give it to them. So I would object if they wanted to see my notes that I was using, that was work product. And I don't think I would have had any problems keeping the notes from them, even though I really didn't care. It's nothing that they shouldn't know. The lawyers should know all of these things. So let's talk a little bit about the objections. One of the objections that I had was I was asked who did you talk to about this deposition? And I'm getting a little bit savvy, so I knew not to talk to too many people about the deposition. So the only one I really talked to was my wife about the deposition. So he said, well, what did you tell your wife? And I objected, and I said that it's part of spousal privilege, which is true. Check your state laws on that. I think that's varies by state. But in most states, you can say that it's spousal privilege and not have to answer the question or have an objection. So I objected to it, and he said, well, you're going to have to go ahead and answer that. What did you tell her? And I said, my deposition's at whatever time it was today. I don't know how long it's going to take. I'll call you on the ride home. That's what I told her, and that's what I told them in my deposition. So he had to fight just to get that out of me. I just kind of thought it was funny, and you could just kind of see that he wasn't real pleased that I was trying to hold that back from him because it told him nothing that he didn't know. So anyhow, I kind of found that humorous. One of the objections that's on my cheat sheet here is the work product privilege. So you can object that something's a work product privilege, and that's what we were talking about. Let me read it a little bit of it. Documents and tangible things prepared in anticipation of litigation for trial must be disclosed to the adversary only under the terms of a court order. That means you don't have to give it to them unless the judge specifically says so. You can refuse to answer, saying that the information is part of your work product. So that's a good one. One of them is misquotes or mischaracterization of testimony. This is when the lawyer will say something that you said that isn't true, that you never said that earlier. So that's an objection. Another one is if they ask a compound question, did you go to Pittsburgh and see the Steelers play? That's a compound question. You can object and ask them to put it into, did you go to Pittsburgh? Did you see the Steelers play? So anyhow, that's one. If a question's vague, you can object to it and ask them to rephrase it. A leading question is also an objection. And that's a question that either through the way it is worded or the questioner's tone of voice suggests the answer the deponent should give. So that's an objection. Turn the page here. I got a good microphone, so you probably heard that. If you get asked a question that requires a super long answer, you can object and say that it calls for a narrative answer. That's an objection. Another one is an argumentative objection. An argumentative question asks the deponent to respond to your adversary's argument rather than respond to a question. You can object if something's irrelevant. This one I kind of caution you on, but if you're getting sued because you sold a faulty car and they ask you what color the sky is, I guess you could object that that's irrelevant. So there's three more, and these three are the big ones in my mind. One of them is hearsay, and that says the objection asserts that your adversary has asked the deponent to testify about a statement made previously outside of the deposition in order to prove that the statement is true. So that's covered by the Federal Rules of Evidence 801. So check that out if you have an issue with that. Another objection is a lack of personal knowledge. It is pretty obvious what that one says. If you don't know anything about it, you can object to it. So here's my favorite one. Lack of authentication or lack of foundation for a document. This objection asserts that the questioner has failed to establish that the document is shown to the deponent is genuine. I hope I said that clearly. I'm just reading and I can't even read it right. Established on the record that it was written or produced by the person claimed to be the author. So if they hand you a piece of paper and you have no idea who wrote it, where it came from, that's your objection. Lack of authentication or lack of foundation. I like to say lack of foundation because it sounds like you know what you're talking about. So that's rule of evidence, Federal Rules of Evidence 901. So if they have a billing statement and they put it in front of you and say they want to question you about it, you would object with lack of authentication. where did this come from? I don't know who printed it. I don't know when they printed it. I don't know where it was printed. I don't know the method that was used for printing it. On and on and on. You have all these objections. You're still going to have to answer the question. But if you have your objection down on the record, you know, it's really going to be hard to bring whatever you say after you object into court, unless your objection was unfounded. So anyhow, those were the things that I really wanted to talk about. Relax in your deposition. It's not much fun, but it's not the end of the world either. You know, going to court and depositions are supposed to scare the bejesus out of you. That's kind of the purpose of it, is to get you to freak out and settle or to give up or swing everything into the lawyer's favor. Don't let that happen. I'm still out here fighting. The deposition didn't bring me down. It freaked me out. I left there and I was a little bit freaked out. And then I started driving home and I started thinking about all the things that we had, all the objections that I just talked about. And I started feeling really good about my case. I still think that I've got a really, really rock solid case. I'm not afraid of them. I think it's going to take a while to get to the bottom of it. They seem to be dragging their feet and they don't want to settle. So it'll be interesting to see the day before we're supposed to go to trial how open to settlement they are. Just really never know. I don't really care if I go to trial. If I go to trial, I expect I'll win. But if I don't, I'll learn a hell of a lot. And the next time I'll bring a bigger hammer. So there's a guy, Dr. Graves, that talks about, well, he has a website and a program called Jurisdictionary. It's excellent. It's about $250. If you've got $250 extra, it would be definitely worth buying. Anyhow, he talks about when you deal with lawyers, that this isn't really a nice, cordial thing going on. It's bringing a hammer or a knife. It's bringing a hammer and slamming them over the head with it, basically. I don't think he meant that literally. But anyhow, check out Dr. Graves at Jurisdictionary. Obviously, I don't make any money from him, so I just think he's a great educator. I think that program's great, and it's worth the $250. This is a pretty long podcast. If you have any questions, please email me. My email address is boiler@notlegaladvice.org. My website is notlegaladvice.org. Any questions, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. Even if you just want to send me an email and let me know you listen to this podcast and whether you liked it or not, or what more I could have added to it, whatever it is, I love hearing feedback. I like knowing people are out there. Sometimes I feel like I'm just talking to myself, which isn't real encouraging. So send me some feedback. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
While the information on this site deals with legal issues, it does not constitute legal advice. The materials on this website are provided for informational purposes only and do not constitute legal advice. We do not advise on the application of law to an individual's specific circumstances. Although we go to great lengths to make sure our information is accurate and useful, we recommend you consult a lawyer if you want professional assurance that our information and your interpretation of it is appropriate to your particular situation. There are no lawyers on this site, nor are there any lawyers on this podcast.